Father, we honor you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As Tiffany was just sharing about, yeah, just the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Mm. Mm. In the midst of these times like Purim,
mm-hmm,
one of the things that my heart begins to grab a hold of is just, God, what are you releasing at the gate?
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I had a few words of knowledge to release,
mm-hmm,
for breakthrough for individuals in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And then also some words of knowledge just for just this time period. Mm-hmm. But the first word of knowledge is related to, mm-hmm, business.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone in this room been like believing God for just breakthrough in the realm of business, mm-hmm, and finance?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, feel free to raise your hand.
Mm-hmm.
But what I saw the Lord doing in the midst of the atmosphere was he was just beginning to release resources.
Mm-hmm.
I saw angels of finance begin to float, mm-hmm, around in the, mm-hmm, atmosphere of worship. Mm-hmm. And it was like there was this supernatural provision for finance and capital, yeah, that began to come forth. And so right now I'm loose over you all just this, yes, decree that financial, yes, breakthrough and provision
breakthrough
is coming,
yes,
in such a way where your businesses, where they've been halted or stuck in a moment or a season of transition, are going to begin to multiply in the name,
yes,
of
God.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, God.
Whew. Yes, mm, I receive that.
The next word of knowledge was related to houses. Mm. I saw individuals like fixing up their houses or reconstructing or remodeling. Anyone in here like in the journey of like doing stuff to your house?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I saw the Lord, mm-hmm, begin to release angels, mm-hmm, even in that realm, and I begin, mm-hmm, to see resources, mm-hmm, and tools begin to fall into place. It was like for those of you that were like stuck trying, mm-hmm, to figure out like, okay, how do I get this particular portion of the house to be renovated or, mm-hmm, to be reconstructed?
Yeah.
Or even I heard the word delay. And I decree right now that the spirit, yes, of delay is being broken in Jesus',
yes,
name. And that right, come now, on, tools and resources, yes, for fixing and redeeming, yes, and allowing for your house to come to full flourishing would come forth in Jesus' name. Anyone in the room been believing God just for like healing in the area of like their skin or their body?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I saw the Lord begin to touch hearts and minds, and I begin to see like skin diseases begin to like begin to heal supernaturally.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now I loose over your bodies,
yes,
and over your hearts and minds.
Thank you,
just
Lord,
the divine deliverance and miracle anointing in Jesus' name over you. And I loose freedom where there's been back pain. I command that pain in the name of Jesus to go. I command certain ligaments where it's been difficult to walk. I command those things to begin to strengthen, that you begin to be able to rise up in strength. And I decree right now, we're going to see miracles in the realm of your body and your skins in Jesus' name.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
And then I believe in this house and in this land, one of the things I began to see was Matthew 16. And I want to stir your faith for a moment to begin to set your gaze, mm-hmm, for miracles.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I, yeah, began to see was like, I want you to imagine for, yeah, a moment the 4,000 and 5,000,
mm-hmm,
and how the, mm, the fishes and the loaves, mm-hmm, they began to multiply,
yeah. Yeah.
So much so that all of the individuals in those,
yes,
crowds, Jesus and his disciples were able to feed them.
Mm.
And I began to see in the midst of the worship, this realm of miracles and expectation open up over us,
mm,
and over this land where it's like God was raising up a people that would be, mm, able to see in heaven and say, this situation looks impossible, but the,
yeah,
realm of multiplication is present.
Yes.
And I began to see this like multiplication of fishes and loaves in realms where, mm, it seemed like, where is the provision going to come from?
Mm.
And it began to be released because of our,
come
expectation
on,
to say, no, we're going to step out and, mm, see fishes and loaves multiply,
yeah,
for, mm, the multitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
And I began, yeah, to see as well over America where it's felt like certain veils have been hiding the ability to really allow for God's people to move prophetically in the realm of miracles.
Yeah.
I began to see the veils fall off. And I began to see the clarity of the prophetic spirit. And so I call forth our prophetic eyes and our prophetic spirit to begin to arise beyond what has tried to keep us at seeing at a certain level. And I say that in this time of Purim, we will see with new eyes, and we will see the realm of miracles, the realm of deliverance. And we loose that so that we would be able to see with God the harvest and the needs of the harvest.
Come
in
on.
Jesus' name, we loose a miracle anointing in this season.
Yes.
We thank you, Father.
Amen. 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 Let's give the Lord a clap. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Yeah, we just say more, Lord, than what you want to do.
Whatever you want to do, Lord, we just gather around your presence this morning, God. We just thank you for getting wrecked in worship. God, wreck our hearts for what wrecks yours, Jesus. Just pour out your anointing upon us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't know if, I apologize if the kids didn't get dismissed, but if any still need to be dismissed, you can do that. I just want you to look for the light burden of prayer to come upon your life.
Come on.
Even as we begin to intercede for Israel today, I just felt, you know, one of the great signs of the move of God is, I'm going to emphasize the light burden. Who's ever taken the heavy burden of prayer on you? That is not God's burden. That's the burden of prayer that you think in your own strength you can do it. But God says, no, I have another burden of prayer. It's called the light burden of prayer. Well, I will come on you to pray through you. And God is going to begin to pray through you and intercede through you and give you words. Look for a breakout of healing and for the words of knowledge to just flow freely. And the other sign of God moving is when he sends people to the nations. Now, Jesus said in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, that you'll go to Judea, Samaria. Judea was their neighborhood, their city. Samaria was a little bit further away. And then where? To the rest of the earth. Amen. So, like, I got a report yesterday. Mark and Grace Andringa are with a team in Roanoke, Virginia, doing a healing conference. Amen. So they're on a mission trip. Amen.
Yeah.
There's Samaria or whatever, a little bit further away from the triangle. Just a couple things. Woman partially, Mark sent this to me yesterday. A woman partially blind in the left eye from a mini stroke 16 years ago, healed from a word of knowledge, a great experience of God's love. Here's another one. A young man who had hip leg pain from a car accident, pain gone and on his own, chose to forgive the two drivers involved. Woman with pain in her front, front hip, I think it is, from surgery, just miraculously healed. Lord, we just say thank you, Lord. More of that. Thank you for sending us out. We were about 15 or 20 of us gathered with another church at Love Life down here on the street corner yesterday. It was so glorious. Eva led worship. I don't know, Pamela had a prayer, Dad led a prayer, I preached the gospel at the end. There was 50 of us out there, 50. And it was the best Love Life I've been to. And I felt like, okay, it's a sign of something. God is coming upon his people to pray. And look for something. That's a really, really good sign. When he comes upon people to pray, it looks different. It feels different. Expect that to happen in your own prayer closet, so to speak. Your own home, your own life, your own kids. And the word that the Lord gave me, I mentioned it last week, a couple of weeks ago, was this word, unconventional. So you know the expression of conventional wisdom? It's conventional wisdom to do such and such. Or I need something to figure something out. Well, what's conventional wisdom say? Usually if I need conventional wisdom, I Google it. God has something far better than Google. It's called the kingdom of heaven. And actually you access the kingdom of heaven easier than Google. You don't just have to type it in. You just reach up in your heart. You reach in rather in your heart because the kingdom of heaven is in you. And you've been highlighting John 9 to me. So if you've got your device or your Bible beside you, turn to John chapter 9. I checked it in the New American Standard Bible, and it's legitimate. I'm going to use the Passion Translation this morning. I love the way that it brings forth some expression here, and so that's my reasoning for that. But you know, as I did though, look up the definition of that word, and I shared this last week just to rehash. Unconventional means not based on or conforming to what is generally done or believed. How many know we've done a lot of good things in the church that were good even for that time? They were God. They were good for this season. They were God for that season. But God's saying, I'm doing a new thing. Behold, who can see it? Who can feel it? You can feel a new thing.
Yeah.
And I see God aligning our hearts and our perspectives to be able to go along with what that thing is and what he's wanting to do. I don't know about you, but speaking of unconventional, the last couple of years in our family have been somewhat unconventional. Anybody else? It just seems like the rules changed. Not the rules, but I mean, just the way things that generally work. From just a few examples, like our son Judah getting married before he had finished college, you know, that goes against conventional wisdom, right? Or not everybody, but for a lot of people. Or, you know, God starting a business in our home through Gabe while he's in high school. You know, can we agree that doesn't usually happen? And I realize it's not something just about us or him. There's a different season on the earth now.
Yeah.
Even if you, and I went to college and I love college, but you notice that colleges are changing. Well, they better. Degrees don't even necessarily always add up to what they used to. Do anybody notice that? Education in general, the mountain, I think Dr. Newsom would agree with me. There's something that's shifting, or at least needs to shift in general. People are starting to look at things a little bit differently. I think these are all natural signs of a spiritual reality as God is shifting something in the earth. And as horrible as the COVID season was, I think it did. It helped us to get some 2020 vision in 2020. To see things a little bit differently. We were forced to, weren't we? And so God wants to do this in our lives. And even like going back to yesterday at Love Life, I've been a part of as a kid for the last 45-ish years or so of just praying for the lives of the unborn. And the more I'm connected with this ministry that we partner with, Love Life, it's unconventional. It's just, what are we there for? We're not there to picket, protest. Actually, quite to the contrary. We're really just there to love Jesus. We're really just standing out there loving Jesus and praying and loving Jesus. And people come by and it's like they didn't even know there was another option for them. And so it's just an example. Again, I see it as a sign of this is unconventional. Listen, look for you. God's going to put in people in this room right now. Some people aren't here watching online. He's going to put unconventional ministry models in your heart. You're like, well, I've never seen this before. It's probably a good sign. It's because you're not supposed to. God's saying it's a new day. It's a new era in my body. I want my body to come into alignment with this unconventional mode that we're in. And I don't know if you noticed, but Jesus of Nazareth was a little unconventional, wasn't he? He just sort of seemed to have a way of breaking all the rules and going in a different perspective. For example, look at John 9. I'm just going to hit the first 11 verses probably this morning. Well, we might be able to go a little bit farther. We'll just see how it goes. Are you all right?
Yeah.
By the way, pause for a commercial break. In 2 weeks, one of my mentors, my ministry school leaders, used to be an associate pastor, Jim Hill, is going to be here and to preach. And him and Byron and myself are the main instructors at our River Life School of Ministry, taking applications for the fall. That's the commercial. If you want to go on our website, it's been awesome. We've had such a good time. And a few weeks ago, he was teaching on end times. And, you know, end times, or eschatology, as it's called in theology, end times is not something in a church like River Life you hear a whole lot of sermons on, right? But he taught this message on end times, and we were all, I think that's the best end times message I've ever heard. And the next day, I called him. It's like, hey, Jim, will you come teach that in our church? He goes, yeah, sure, I'd love to. So we don't normally announce ahead of time what a speaker is going to be speaking on. But Lord willing, and the Holy Spirit doesn't change the message, which could always happen. This is what's going to be happening in a few weeks. I think it's exactly 2 weeks from today. So we got that to look forward to. And isn't that a blessing that Tiffany's going to Nigeria? And then also Angel in May is going to Africa. Is it Zambia? She's going to Zambia in May, so stay tuned on that. I keep getting these reports from our dear Abby Rusin. She's in Armenia right now, and she's preparing. She feels like God has her to stay there. She's with Youth with a Mission, but she's doing phenomenal stuff. If you're not on her email list and you would like to be, email me, and I'll send you her email so you can connect with her. But just awesome stuff. And then Eva is getting ready to go to Ghana. Oh, we got Africa surrounded. Yeah, West Africa. That's close. Especially that western part. And then our Ben Bollinger and Anna Grace are going to the west coast of Mexico to minister to orphans in July. And then Gabe and Ben are headed to the YWAM base in Kona to go to the uttermost parts of the earth in September. Anybody else going? Oh, and Tim. Tim's not back yet. We prayed for him last week to Sri Lanka. So that's considerable in a handful of people. Like, see, this is a sign, again, of what God's doing. Aren't we glad that we got out of that COVID season where we can actually go? That was such a hard pause, especially when it comes to missions. And so I just want to continue to support one another, pray for one another. Only God knows how he's going to finance all this stuff, but he's going to.
Yeah.
He's going to. I just know that he is. And so we're excited about that. But are you guys all right?
Yeah.
Okay. John 9 is such a powerful story. It says afterward, again, I'm in the TPT, if you find that in your list of translations there. Afterward, as Jesus walked down the street, he noticed a blind man. How long had been the blind somebody?
From birth.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but this person had never seen anything. This guy had never seen a leaf on a tree, much less to know what color the sky even is. This person had never seen a thing, much less his mama or his dad. Not to mention Jesus. He was blind from birth. Have you ever thought about what that would be like? To never have experienced the sense of natural sight. I know my grandmother, my mom's mom, she lived with us growing up because she went blind in middle age. So she had been blind and then couldn't see much of anything at all. And I just remember watching her in the remarkable way that even though she was a diabetic and so her sense of touch was not very well, she had these other things that, like, what she would hear or her sense of things was just different. And so you can almost see in this blind from birth man that he's got a different sense. The world might call it a sixth sense. We would probably refer to it as spiritual senses. There was something here that was just unusual. It was unconventional. And his disciples asked Jesus, "Teacher," now notice this part, "whose sin caused this guy's blindness?" A, because humans are A and B people. And if you're really broad-minded, you add a C, D, or other, you know, the multiple choice test. E could be A, B, or C, or it could be just A or D. Who loved those exams in college? This professor is tricking me. This is ridiculous. Just, we are like that as humans. Why? Because we like our boxes. We like our understandings. It helps us. It's just natural. It helps us to make sense of ourselves, God, and the world around us.
And so these people in the first century are no different. They're just simply saying, hey, teacher, so we know this guy is a sinner. He's a dirty, rotten sinner, so to speak. And so who caused this blindness to be cursed like this from birth? Was it his own sin or the sin of his parents? Now, again, remember, this is theological understanding for the Jewish people taught by the rabbis in this time of history. And so we're always looking for this explanation. Yet Jesus seems to have different thoughts here. He has different perspectives. And I think this is still true. I know this is still true about the Lord today. Jesus hasn't changed. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever, the Bible says. His perspectives are still beyond ours. He still knows we're probably going to ask for an A, B, or C, but he's got D, E, F, G, and triple Z. He's got all these different options and all these different scenarios. And I think in a season of unconventionality, is not a word, is it, Janet? What am I looking for? This season of things being unconventional, let's put it that way, that this is really, really critical. And it reminded me, if I can diverge for a minute from the text, to the story in Joshua 5. Remember the story of Joshua and the captain of the Lord's army? Raise your hand if you're vaguely familiar with that. Remember, just after Joshua had led the Israelites to cross into the promised land, which, by the way, God parted a river again so they could walk across millions of people on dry land across the Jordan. They renewed the covenant with the Lord in circumcision. They celebrated the Passover. What a beautiful picture. And before they're about to go to battle at Jericho, and this is a whole nother sermon series probably because I think there's a lot God's saying in this story. But let me just read three verses. Joshua 5:13, I switched over to the NLT. When Joshua was near the town of Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a sword in his hand. I think that man was actually Yeshua, by the way, but Jesus. Joshua went up to him, a pre-incarnate Jesus, in other words. He went up to him and demanded, are you, let me just put in here, A, a friend, or B, a foe? Did you hear it? A, a friend, B, a foe, or we could interject C, neither. Circle, fill in the bubble. Neither one, he replied. I am who? The commander of the Lord's army. It's like, here's what we do. Are you a Republican or a Democrat? Are you a liberal or a conservative? Are you American or are you Russian? Are you Chinese or are you Japanese? Are you spirit-filled or are you an evangelical? Are you a Pentecostal or are you a Southern Baptist? But what I feel God saying is neither. I am neither. I will pour out my spirit anywhere I choose. Toronto Airport Vineyard in 1994 or Asbury Wesleyan University in 2023. I am no respecter of persons. While it's helpful, some of the chatter about what God's doing is not helpful to me. Because it's just like, why do we have to delineate? Again, why do we need to put God in an A, B, C, or D box? God's no respecter of persons. Now, let me be careful here. Hear my heart. No one has 100% perfect theology. Do you hear that? Including me, including us. We're all humans. We're missing some aspect of God and who he is and the way he operates in some way. That's just the way it is. Therefore, God moves on people without perfect theology.
Amen.
Because that's all of us. Jonathan Edwards, for example, in the Great Awakening, he didn't believe that the gifts of the Spirit were for today. In other words, he didn't believe in tongues. He didn't believe in the gift of healing, the gift of prophecy. He believed those had died with the canonization of the Bible or the death of the apostles. Yet what did God do? He poured out his Spirit on this very boring preacher, this very unassuming, theologically staunch, conservative, stiff person and his church, and the rest is history. An awakening happened across the colonies for 30, 40 years. George Washington was born as a child, raised up in the awakening revival fires that came on a man that I would say didn't have great theology on some regard. However, I would never dishonor Jonathan Edwards. He's a man, a humble servant whom God chose. So God, I don't know, Lord, but pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit, because the captain of the Lord's army is standing in front of us. At this, Joshua fell with his face to the ground in reverence. I'm at your command, Joshua said. What do you want your servant to do? And the commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. You remember when Jesus took the disciples' sandals off and washed their feet? And Peter was like, oh no, don't do that to me. I'm not worthy. He said, unless you let me do this, then you can't partake in me. And he said, well, in that case, wash everything, Jesus. You see, biblically, sandals represent a new inheritance. It represents the holiness of God and the authority that came with it. We talk a lot about kingdom authority. See, where does that kingdom authority come from? It comes from his holiness that he imparts through these encounters. And Joshua did as he was told. And he took off, and you know, the story goes on. Let me go back to verse 3 in John 9. Jesus answered when asked who sinned, this man or his parents, and he said, neither. It happened to him so that you could watch him experience God's miracle. In other words, Peter, James, John, all the others that are standing here asking these questions, the place where you are is holy right now. A new inheritance and authority is available here. And Jesus goes on and says, while I'm with you, it is daytime, and we must do the works of God who sent me while the light shines. For there is coming a dark night when no one will be able to work. As long as I am with you, my life is the light that pierces the world's darkness. I feel like, church, the time is short. Let's be about our Father's business. Let's go to Africa. Let's go to Roanoke. Let's go to the street corner. Let's go to the schoolhouse. Let's go to your place of business. Wherever it is, may we be about our Father's business. Not always trying to put in a box. Is it this or is it that? Well, let me look that up on the internet. Is it this or do I need it that way? No, what you need is a kingdom way. What is God saying? What is he doing? Now watch. It may be a little unconventional. I'm not saying unbiblical. God will never violate the principles of his word, but maybe a little unconventional. Are you guys all right? Yeah. Speaking of unconventional, the next verse, Jesus spat on the ground and made some clay with his saliva. Ever done that? Then he anointed the blind man's eyes with clay. What a picture. He literally spit in the ground, made mud with that nasty spit, and put it on a dude's eyes. Let's talk about unconventional. We see no precedence of this. And he said to the blind man, now go and wash the clay from your eyes in the ritual pool of Siloam. So he went and washed his face, and as he came back, he could see for the first time in his life. Was there some power or some magic in the clay? No, I don't think so. It was the act of what Jesus saw the Father doing. It was the act, it was the unconventional wisdom of heaven that he was seeing happen here. Here's the first thing from this passage. You can jot this down if you want to. Number one, watch out for some of your theological understandings to be challenged in this season. Watch out for some of my theological understandings
to be challenged in the season. God will never violate His word. But what? Guess what God loves to violate? Our understanding of His word. That phrase, I think it was from Pastor Bill Johnson, always stuck with me. Because I was like, you know what? Across church history, and if you study it, it is so vivid, diverse, and all the other, that it's amazing. That is so true. God doesn't violate His word. The word is absolute. The word is true. But He often will violate, just like I could use Jonathan Edwards as an example. He could violate Dr. Edwards' understanding of the gifts of the Spirit. Does it mean the gifts of the Spirit for today weren't always there in the Holy Bible? No, they were always there. The Bible hadn't changed since the 1730s. But Dr. Edwards' understanding of that was. Now, I don't personally look at someone like Jonathan Edwards and point a finger and be like, oh my gosh, how could he do that? No, it's like the old thing. If you point at somebody, three fingers are pointing back at you. I'm like, oh, Lord, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean understanding, lips, like Isaiah 6. Help me, Lord. I believe, I understand, but help my misunderstanding. Yeah. Right? I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief, as that person said. Help my misunderstanding. And I just want to encourage you, though. I think this is a season, like, go to God. Go to God and say, God, I really want to understand, fill in the blank. It's the scriptures that it's not the scriptures I don't understand that give me difficulties. It's the scriptures that I do understand that give me difficulties. Maybe you have that in the scripture, or you have that about some realm of the Spirit. Go to the Lord and humbly ask Him, because I do believe that there's an open heaven season. There are times and eras. There are Kairos moments of God revealing things to His people and His church. This is unexplainable to me, too. I don't have an understanding for why this is. But there's an understanding of things that I think of as like a layer of the onion. It's all the onion, but it's like Holy Spirit just keeps pulling back layers. Yes. You know? And there's also nothing new under the sun. In other words, there are mysteries of the kingdom that get kind of buried from times past. Like, I'll give you an instance. If you really study church history in the 1940s and 50s and what's called the voice of healing revival or the voice of healing movement, those men and women peeled back some layers of the onion on physical healing and miracles that I don't even think we're quite back there yet. Okay? It's not that it hasn't gone away, and it's not gone away in here. It's just generation after generation goes by. And things sort of get hidden, forgotten, buried, whatever. Just basic salvation by grace through faith. For hundreds of years, until 1517 in the Protestant Reformation, people didn't know how to get saved. Like, it wasn't a common understanding spiritually. So they were literally following the Catholic teaching of indulgences, paying to get your sins forgiven. You got to do all these sacraments in order to get to heaven, right? You following me? Read your history book. Until this humble little monk was reading in Romans, and God gave him a new revelation. Now, was it new? No, it was there all along. Are you guys all right? Watch out for this. Spit in the mud, blind people. This is just crazy. But here's the thing. See, blind people were seen to be born in sin and cursed. And people who were even considered to be the holy and righteous ones of the Jewish leaders would spit as they walked past this man for his whole life. Sometimes spitting on them. Why? Because it was a sign of righteousness where they're condemning sin. So, it's like my pastor said to me, he had somebody say to him, Byron, why don't you ever preach on sin in the church? He's like, well, because I figure people are well acquainted with sin. What they need is a way out of their sin. It's not that you don't talk about sin. It's just, what do you focus on? So they were condemning sin, preaching against sin, keeping the nation holy and pure, and spitting as they passed this cursed sinner was a sign of that. How many times do you think hate had spit at him his entire life? Yet love spit for a different reason. This is a little gross, but I hear Jesus going, you know, he's about to spit, and it's bringing, like, something inside of this man is beginning to shake. Because the trauma from all these years of being spit at and spit upon, it's coming back, but then the mud comes upon his eyes. But then love touches him. And it's a completely new day, and he sees for the first time ever. Let me ask you, what from your past seems to be a curse? Yet, maybe even now, Jesus is using that very thing to show you his redeemable love. I was thinking, for me, my divorce in 1997 and 98 seemed like a curse. Such a failure. I was a young Christian. It seemed like such an overwhelming thing to get past, to overcome. Yet I remember when it was finalized in January of 1998. No, sorry, of 99. January of 99. I remember praying one day. I'm like, all right, Lord, I'm going to take at least a year to get healed, to get, you know, restored. Just my heart is just messed up. I'm not even going to look at another woman for like a year, Lord. That, you know, that was my human promise to the Lord. And then there comes Sarah Ruth Moore. And we find ourselves at the front of the church one Sunday as God saves and delivers these seven teenage boys off the back row. They get radically saved. And so we're up there. She and her friend had been leading the youth group as college students. All of a sudden, we're standing there. And still, it's like, okay, she's a nice girl, but, you know, whatever. And to make a really long story short, on April Fool's Day, it wasn't an April Fool's, but on April 1st, we were officially dating. Remember, I had just 4 months ago told God, it's going to be at least a year. And by July, we got engaged on the mission field in Argentina. And in October of 1999, we got married. And that was 24 years ago this October. Could be a little unconventional. Thank you, but I'm not really going for a hand clap. The point was, even I didn't feel like this is conventional wisdom. When Chuck took me out to lunch one day to ask me what my intentions with his daughter were, people think, oh, that must have been scary. I was like, it was scary, but in a different way. God had already spoken to him that I was the man for his daughter, and he wanted to know, what am I waiting around on? And I'm like, Chuck, you're going to have to give me a breather here, man. I just got divorced. Like, I need some time. He's like, all right, that's fine. We were at Lancaster's barbecue when that happened. He's like, that's fine. I'll give you all the time that you need. Then every time I saw Chuck, what do you think he asked me? You ready to go back to Lancaster's? Code language. You know that scripture that says his ways are not our ways? And his timing is not our timing. Usually we think, what, God takes forever. Sometimes God's way faster than you would prefer. I've got other things in my life right now. It's like, just hang on. Like, God, can we slow down a little bit? What's the right answer? God. Go along with what God is doing. He's not going to violate his word. I'm not talking about unbiblical things. No, quite to the contrary. That would be stupidity. But go along with what God's doing. So the second thing I see here is that it's going to be important we listen to unconventional leadings from the Holy Spirit during this season. Again, it will be biblical. Mud in the eyes? I don't know. Where do you find that in the Torah? Maybe it's in there, Pamela. You can show it to me. Test and confirm what you hear. with the body of Christ, with the church family around you, with your trusted leaders. So he went and washed his face. He could see for the first time in his life. And sometimes I feel like I need a good face wash. How about you? Some of us need to wash our face, the face of our hearts. Remember, some people have grown so accustomed to their situation that they don't even realize they're blind. It takes the Holy Spirit and a humility to say, Lord, am I blind? I heard a powerful testimony this week from somebody who just recognized through something that happened last Sunday. They recognized that they had been blind in an area in their lives. And they sent me an email and just completely repented. And I said, Lord, God is on the move. Like, we're in somewhat of an awakening with stuff like that happening. And so I just say, God, do that again. Lord, where am I blind? Just ask him. Where am I blind? Lord, open my eyes to see. This caused quite a stir among the people of the neighborhood, for they noticed the blind beggar was now seeing. They began to say to one another, isn't this the blind man who once sat and begged? Some said, nah, it can't be him. Others said, wait, but it looks just like him. It has to be him. And all the while, the man kept insisting, I am the man who was blind. Finally, they asked him, all right, what has happened to you? He replied, this is my favorite part. I met the man named Jesus. He rubbed clay in my eyes, and I can see the tears running down his face. And he said, now go to the pool named Siloam and wash. So I went, and while I was washing the clay from my eyes, I began to see for the very first time ever. It reminded me of the famous hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You guys sing with me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. Look for a new anointing to see this year. Look for a new anointing, because I believe that God answers humble prayers every time. If we will humbly say, God, where am I off in my theology? God, what do I not understand? God, where have I seen things differently in my culture than your heart? Yeah. I believe if we will humbly and honestly ask that prayer, he will answer us. Now, I dare you to believe what he says. Whatever he shows you, write it down. It may not be comfortable. Sometimes it'll break some boxes in our lives. Sometimes it might require, like that woman who had that year's savings in a perfume box, to just bust it all out because she was undone. And she just busted it to anoint the body of Jesus. And finally, look for a new anointing for testimonies to come upon you and the church. So in other words, what God shows you and what he's doing in you, we don't have to be in a hurry. Let it just work its way in you, because remember, you can only give away what you've received. But once you've received it, you can testify. Once God's done it, you've got something to share with those who need liberation, who need freedom in the same way. I see a new anointing for testimonies coming on this church. Right now, I feel the man in this story represents the church. I know there's another interpretation there, and I don't mean to make light of that, but I just see God washing the mud spittle from our eyes. The eyes of our heart, we sang that last week, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of our understanding. Byron has this great teaching in Greek that's dianoia. It's the eyes of your understanding. It's where God works in our lives. In many ways, we've been blind, yet Jesus is doing an unconventional thing with us right now. In order that we might turn around and give to the world around us what we've received. Amen.
All right, you guys stand with me.
You know, there was another testimony we heard this week, and it was from this guy who he'd grown up, and he had known the Lord since he was little, since he was like 5 or 6. And he said, but yet he was raised in this, you know, they were raised around like working with drug addicts and seeing people get saved and come out of these horrible situations. Mm-hmm. He said, so he would hear them give their testimony and they'd be like, you know, I used to do acid, I used to do drugs, I was doing all this, and then God saved me and he transformed my life. And he came to this understanding, well, that's what a powerful testimony looks like. And my testimony, which is I gave my heart to Jesus at 5 years old, you know, it's not a powerful testimony. So what he started doing was he started lying and started telling these testimonies where I was like, I used to do pot, I used to do blah, blah, blah. And his mom heard him one day. And his mom came over and goes, you need to stop lying. Yeah, it's not true. What you're telling is not true. But what you need to know is we all have a powerful testimony.
Come on.
And our powerful testimony is we all were blind. We were once blind. And then now we see. And when I heard that, I was like, wow, that is so good. That is such an awesome revelation. And I think that even as Christians, we can be walking our lives thinking, well, you know, we know it all. You know, that we've been Christians since we were young, or we've been Christians for 40 years or whatever years, you know. And we lose that sense of childlike wonder with the Lord, where we're just like, Lord, I may be blind in areas. I am blind. A humility where it's like, Lord, I want to see. I want to see you rightly. And that's what I feel today. I even felt during worship this repentance thing. And just because it's like, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. Half the time, I don't know what I'm doing is the truth of the matter. Yeah. I can't figure this out. Yeah. If I had a figure it out plan and it was always the same and I knew exactly what to do when we came into worship and then the screens go off and we don't know what to do. All of us are looking and I'm sitting up there thinking, hey, Lord, I'm supposed to be leading. You know, you're just trying to figure it out. What should I do? Should I call out the words? Should we go to really simple songs? And I just got to this place with the Lord. We're like, Lord, we don't know what to do. We don't always know what to do.
Yeah.
We were once were blind, but now we see. The truth of the matter is the pressure's off.
Yeah.
It's about the Holy Spirit within us.
Yeah.
Greater is He. We have it gets you to that place of this reality of the Lord, that He wants to come into those places where it's like, Lord, I don't know what I don't know, but you do.
Yeah.
And it's not all on me to figure it out, to be the expert on everything. That's not what He wants.
Yeah.
What He wants is a heart that is like, Lord, I'm for you. I want all that you have, and I want to get out of the way. I really want to get out of the way and watch you move.
Yeah.
I just want to see you move. So I just want us to just take a moment to say,
yes, God.
Lord, where are we blind?
Yes, God.
Because the testimony of our lives is we once were blind and now we see. But yet this is an ongoing thing that you want to do in us, Lord. Lord, I'm asking you to remove the scales. Remove the blinders off of our eyes in areas where we maybe even think we've got that, we got this, we know what we're doing. When your mercy comes and says, let me open your eyes, let me reveal my greatness, let me reveal who I really am, let me reveal what it means for the God of the universe to be living inside of you. The revelation of who I really am. So, Lord, in areas of our lives, Lord, where we may be coming up against walls, where we feel like, well, I just don't know what to do. Lord, I'm asking you to remove the blinders, Lord, and show us where we've maybe been believing a lie, where we've maybe partnered with things that just are not your heartbeat, Lord, and we're asking you to let your Holy Spirit wash us, wash over the eyes of our understanding, Lord Jesus. Give us new eyes. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, Lord, that we might be able to see the way you see, Lord. We could see the new perspectives, the new ways, what you want to do, Lord. We would be partnering with you and not in our own strength, Lord. We give you permission to wreck all our boxes.
Yes, God.
As Matthew is preaching, the Lord sent me what I think is a revelation, and he asked the question, where is this in the Torah? Mind immediately went to Genesis 2:7, that we are all made of dust.
Wow.
And then he immediately took me to Colossians 1:16, that all things are made to him, through him, and for him. And so when Sarah got up, I thought, this man was blind from birth, which means his eyesight never existed, like we never existed before we were made from dust. So if you need a creative miracle, get some prayer this morning.
Yeah.
Because he is the creator.
Yeah.
He made us from dust. He was identifying himself as Yahweh in that moment.
So I just, how many people feel like God's just really speaking to you right now? I just want you, I just feel like we're all the ministry team here this morning as we're concluding. Just gather with two or three friends, whoever's around you. If you came by yourself, I apologize and don't want to make you feel awkward. But just get with one or two other people and just pray a blessing over them. Just pray that God will continue to speak this word deep into their heart. If you need to share something with that person, if it's a trusted person, just share your heart. And I just feel like we need to pray over each other right now. We want the Holy Spirit to sink deep in our hearts this thing that he's doing in this moment right now. So let's just conclude that way this morning. Does that work? All right, go ahead and pray.